appreciate the Lord tonight, His goodness, His mercy. It's been such an honor and privilege to be with you good people, and your pastor, his good wife. My sister Kathy just fixed some of the most wonderful meals ever was, and they're trying to fatten me up. I told them me and my wife was in a contest, but I felt like I was going to lose either way, Brother Tommy. Whichever one lost 10 pounds first, and since I hurt my arm, I've gained about 15 pounds, and I told them if I kept on, I was going to have to buy a new wardrobe, and if I didn't lose a little bit, I was going to have to buy her a new dress, so either way, looks like I'm a loser, so you pray for me, will you? I've got this song on my heart. I've not sung it but a time or two, and if you know it, help me. I need all the help I can. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I would be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knee I learn to stand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought that I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knee I learn to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. One day I made Jesus my all and all, and from now on when I'm in trouble, only His name I'll call. And if I don't trust in Him, I'll be less than a man, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Mountain's too high and the valley it's too wide. Down on my knee I learn to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Hallelujah. Oh, how true that is tonight, church. Without Him, we can do nothing. May the Lord bless you for your giving tonight. I appreciate it from the depth of my heart. Amen. I realize who I am tonight and how helpless I am without Him. I don't have a lot of great abilities, but I'd love to be a blessing to you tonight. It's in my heart to be a blessing. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read with us in the book of Proverbs. The Lord would help us tonight. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9. man. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only pride cometh contention, but with the will advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snare of death. And good understanding giveth favor, but the way of a transgressor is hard. That's what I want to talk to you tonight. If the Lord would help us on the way of a transgressor. Could we pray one more time? Please, God, Lord, you know how helpless we are without you. In your mercy, God, in your mercy tonight, God. Oh, God, will you move in this service tonight, Lord? Touch every heart, Lord, every soul. Reach us, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Will you do it tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name? Amen. This word here, transgress, means to step across the boundary. Amen. It means to go beyond the line, the limits, the boundaries that God has set, church. And Proverbs here said, the way of a transgressor is hard. That means you go over the law of God. That word trans means to go over. And the word transgress means to go over the boundaries which God has set for us. You see, there's a limit. There's a boundary that God has for every individual. The Bible said the spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord, shining to all the inward parts of the belly. Amen. God knows us, church. He knows every individual. He knows every heart. And when people say, amen, the way of holiness is hard, they really don't know what they're talking about. Because the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. You see, holiness is the natural growth of a child of God who is conceived in the Word of God. Would you help me preach tonight? Church, it's as natural for a child of God to live a life of holiness and separation as it is for an apple tree to have apples on it. Amen. Or a pear tree to have pears on it. Yeah. Or a peach tree or a plum tree to have their fruit on it. You see, it's the fruit of the Christian life. There's nothing hard about living a holy life. Would you help me tonight? Holiness to a saint of God is his natural growth habitat. Amen. Amen. Now, it may be hard to surrender your will to God's will. Amen. But it's not on God's part. And it shouldn't be on your part. Amen. So many people that say it's hard, they're saying it's hard to give up television. Amen. Or it's hard to give up rock and roll music. Or it's hard to give up so-called Christian rock. Amen. Or to give up makeup or whatever, the world. Amen. So, but church, it's not hard to live right. Amen. It's not hard to live for God. In fact, it's the best life on earth. Amen. It's more rewarding. The only life that will satisfy is a life lived for God. You can roam through life. You can spend your whole life, amen, in search for happiness. But except you find God, except you find true righteousness in your heart, the peace of God, amen, you'll never find life until you find Christ, amen. You see, there's nothing hard about holiness. And could I say there's nothing hard about holiness preachers? Amen. If being called hard would make us discouraged, we'd be the most discouraged people on the face of the earth. Amen. Because you see, holiness preachers are they're tagged, amen, as being hard with the truth, amen. But the truth is, church, we're just being honest with people. Amen. If people would be honest with themselves, amen. And you got to be truthful with yourself, amen. Do you remember Jesus telling about the man with the talents in Matthew 25 and verse 24, which said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man." Amen. So church, we're no better than our Lord is. They told him he was hard. Amen. But he was only telling them the truth. And when we tell men and women the truth, amen, and they call us hard, amen, it's no better. Brother Shad, we're no better than our Lord. Amen. So could I say, amen, what's hard about holiness? Really, what's hard about living a holy life? Amen. It's the best life you can find. You see, holiness is the will of God. Holiness is the mind of God. Amen. It's the heart of God for you and I to live holy. Amen. Holiness is where true happiness is. Amen. It's where the blessings are. When you live right and you live pure in your heart, amen, and you can feel the blessings of God. It opens up the avenues of your heart for God to bless you and to communicate with you. Amen. And there's no greater joy you'll ever know when you walk right before God. Amen. It's not hard, church, talking to God. Somebody said praying is hard. Is it hard talking to your father? It shouldn't be. One of the greatest friends I had was my dad. We was like brothers, Brother Shad. Amen. He told me, he said, "Son, wherever you move, your mother and I are going to move beside of you." Amen. What he's saying, you're my buddy, you're my friend. I know what he was saying. Amen. I never moved nowhere. All the other kids moved off. I told them I was the only one that had any sense. I know where home was. They had planned and planned and planned to come see Mom and Dad and try to work their vacation so they could come in for a few days. And I'd tease them, Brother Tommy. I'd say, "Boys, I just walked through the yard and got a cup of coffee, and Mother made some big old biscuits and gravy." Amen. And they just envy me. Amen. Amen. But it's not hard talking to your father, and it ought not be hard to talk to our Heavenly Father. Amen. God is more willing and waiting than any of us would ever understand if you'd only just seek God. Amen. Could I tell you what's really hard today? The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. There's an easy way, church. Isaiah 35 and 8, the Bible said, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err thereon." Amen. Could I say, amen, you don't have to be a scholar, amen, you don't have to be a college graduate to understand holiness, church. Matthew 11, 28, the Bible said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Amen. Would you help me preach tonight? This is the only time in the Bible that Jesus ever gives the description of himself, church. Amen. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does that sound hard to you? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. Hey, church, when you feel that weight and that load of sin and that labor of sin upon your life, amen, and Jesus said, "If you'll come unto me with your load, amen, I'll give you rest. You can find rest for your soul." He said, you don't need to carry that heavy load. Amen. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. He provided the way. Amen. Could I say the yoke yoke of sin and the burden of sin is neither easy nor light. Amen. You show somebody to me that's burdened down with sin, I'll show you somebody that's carrying a heavy load. Amen. Amen. You see, the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. Are you going to help me tonight? Amen. There are many of people in the mental institution tonight, if they had mind enough to tell you, amen, and they'd say, amen, the way of a transgressor is hard.
That's right.
Is hard. Many years ago, Brother Habers Crawford preached a message at the Richlands Camp meeting on it's a hard road to hell. And in his message, he told about some church people who had come up to him that night at church, amen, and they said, well, they're having it better down at the beer joint than we're having it in the house of God. Brother Havis said he just so happened on his way to church that evening. Amen. He went by one of these road houses. And he said when he went by, he said he knowed it was God. When that brother said that to him, Brother Shad, he said because he seen a man come out of the door of that road house. And he was running at a high rate of speed. Amen. And he said right behind him there was a woman with the same speed. Amen. And she had a beer bottle in her hand. And he said when he jumped in his car, she threw that beer bottle and broke it all over the side of his car. He said when he went by, the woman had grabbed him through the window by the neck and she had just given it to him as he went by. Amen. He said, better down at the beer joint than at the house of God. Brother, it's a hard road. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Amen. Would you help me preach? I tell you, it's a hard road to hell, church. Amen. A man's conscience becomes unbearable. Amen. When a man's conscience is working and sin, amen, it's a living hell. That burden of sin that's put upon his back, brother, it's a hard road. The way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. It's not a joyous way. Amen. There's a friend of mine at home. He's in the catering business. Him and his wife, and they've made a lot of money. I did several carpenter jobs for him. And the other day, I came by to see him. Amen. And he said, I want to talk to you. And so I sat down in his office, and he broke down and began to cry and began to tell me about some problems in his home, Brother Shad, and he began to talk to me. And he said, I bought my wife everything you can buy her. He said, I bought her big diamonds. I've took her across the country. I've took her across the world. We went to Las Vegas. We went here. We went there. He began to tell what all he'd done. I bought her new wardrobes, he said. And he said, we're still not happy. He said, if we don't get some counsel or some help, he said, our marriage is on the rocks. Amen. I told him, I said, a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesses. Amen. Material things don't bring happiness. Amen. I told him, I called his name. I said, what you need is God. What your wife needs is God. Amen. I said, that's the only thing that'll bring you happiness. I said, you can buy the world, but you won't be happy. Amen. You see, the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. He began to tell about his mom and dad. He said, I thought when me and my wife got married that it would be a perfect marriage. He said, my mother and dad's been married, I believe he said, 40-some years. He said, they're a happy marriage. He said, they go to church together. I said, that's the key word right there. Yeah. Amen. You can't be happy living in the world. Amen. Indulging in the world, brother. You see, amen. And every suicide is saying, my conscience is killing me. Amen. Amen. Oh, God. Every man that takes his own life is saying, I can't take what my conscience is putting on me. Amen. Somebody said, I would never take my life. Amen. You would if you couldn't live with yourself any longer. Would you help me preach? Amen. You see, the way of a transgressor is hard.
Amen. It's work. Amen. When you load your conscience up with so much sin, and the devil keeps throwing these things at you, and he keeps loading you down and putting a load, after a while, your soul says suicide seems like a good way out. Amen. You see, but Jesus said, come. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Amen. Amen. I'm lowly and hard. Amen. Are you heavy laden? Are you carrying a heavy load tonight? Amen. Do you need rest for your soul? Are you tired? Amen. I'm chasing after a rainbow. Amen. Are you tired of chasing after a mirage? Amen. Always trying to get ahead. In the back of your mind, you keep saying, I'm going to do better. Better later, but right now I've got to get while I can. Amen. Brother, let me tell you, the load gets heavier. Do you need rest for your soul? Would you help me preach? Amen. Oh, my burden. My burden, Jesus said, is light. Let me ask you a question tonight. Why did Judas kill himself? Did you ever think about that? Why did he do it? Amen. You see, amen. He had everything he needed. Amen. He didn't have nobody to fear. Hello? Amen. Why would Judas kill himself? Amen. He had Pilate on his side. I mean, Pilate was afraid at first, but now Jesus is out of the way, and so Pilate didn't have to be afraid, and Judas had Herod on his side. He had the Roman government on his side. He had all the Jews on his side. You remember them? They were those that screamed and hollered, crucify him! Crucify him! Amen. And then the crowd that marched before Jesus at Calvary, amen, they were all on Judas's side. Why, Judas? You see, the high priest was on his side. He gave him 30 pieces of silver, amen, to pull this deal off. All the religious leaders was on Judas's side. So why, Judas? Why? Amen. Oh, what punishment, amen, did Judas have to fear right here? I'll tell you what it was. It was a load of guilt and a burden of sin that was upon him, that weighed down upon his conscience till he couldn't live with himself any longer. Amen. Out of his own mouth, Judas in Matthew 27:4 said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Amen. You see, this was what was weighing on his conscience. I betrayed innocent blood. Could I say a living hell is a burdened down conscience? Amen. That can't stand it any longer. Amen. You see, the robe looked good besides Judas's conscience. Amen. It kept gnawing on him and gnawing on his mind. Amen. Until he couldn't live with himself any longer, and hanging, amen, in that valley with the rope around his neck seemed like the easy way out. Amen. Could I say, church, the way of the transgressor is hard. Would you help me preach? Amen. Amen. It'll take you to hell. It'll take you down. It'll load you down until life don't seem like it's worth living anymore. Amen. When you get out here and you play with your conscience until it becomes a tormentor to your mind. Amen. And your conscience begins to torment you. Amen. You see, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible said, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond, a wanderer, amen, shalt thou be in the earth, amen. Oh, Cain, you slew your brother. You thought that would give you ease. You thought that would get problems out of your way, amen. But oh, all it done was bring more problems, amen. After a while, Cain seen what it was, amen. You see, many people, they wake up, amen, deep indulged in sin, and too too often they wake up too late. Amen. And they're bound down. The load of sin is upon their life. Amen. And they're burdened down till they can't seem to find a way out. Amen. And they get on a merry-go-round of sin, and it takes them. And they want to get. Esau found no place of repentance. Amen. Too many people, when they lose out with God and they become a backslider and they reject God, brother, they want to get off. Amen. But they're so bound and entangled and then tied up, amen, in sin that they can't find no way out. Amen. Finally, verse 13, the Bible said, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What's the matter, Cain? Amen. Hey, church, you ought to thank God for a good conscience tonight. Amen. Amen. A guilty conscience, who can bear it? Oh, the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. And God gave us a conscience. Amen. And to be the watchdog of the soul, brother, and to keep you and in check and keep us in line, unless we go off too far, unless we stray too far, amen, and then it becomes hard, amen, and then it becomes a load, amen, and that who can bear it? God gave us this conscience, amen, and when you do something wrong and you do things you ought not to do, amen, there's something called a conscience that says, watch out, don't do that, don't go there, amen. You know that's not right. Don't touch that. That'll destroy your reputation, amen. That'll destroy your influence, amen. There have been many that fail, amen. Proverbs chapter 7, amen, is a counsel to everyone. Oh, if man could only read that, if preachers that have fallen with a woman, amen, God have mercy, Brother Shad, if they'd only read Proverbs, Brother Solomon, the smartest man in all the world, amen, Brother, he seen that and warned men, amen, many a strong prey had fallen to her, her house is a way to hell. You get out there and you get entangled, amen, and enticed, amen, and oh, for a moment's pleasure, amen, you ruin your whole life, amen. God, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, it seems like in our holiness churches anymore, we think the pastor has to list and name everything or write a set of rules and put it on the board. Amen. Amen. And if he misses anything, you think it's all right because he never mentioned it. It's all right for you to do that. Amen. Amen. There are many things you may have never heard anybody preach against. Amen. But your conscience would tell you that's not right. Don't do that. That won't help you spiritually. That won't give you no strength, church. Amen. There's enough filth and vulgarity on television, amen, without the preacher having to preach on it every time he gets up, for us to know that's not right, amen. And that's just a minor thing. That's just one thing, amen. There are many things that our heart tells us that's not right. Don't go there. That'll destroy you. It'll lead you off, amen. After a while, you'll get discouraged. After a while, you'll not be faithful to the house of God. After a while, you'll not be sure, amen. Amen. And you'll find yourself drifting and drifting until you'll be like Cain. My punishment is greater than I can bear. It's tormenting me. Amen. A lot of times it seems like, amen, that those that are raised up in a holiness church have a harder time shucking off the world than those, amen, that stumble in out of the street not knowing a thing about God. Amen. One man said Judas was bad enough to do the deed, but he was good enough till he couldn't live with it. Amen. Amen. It was his conscience that was killing him. Amen. Hey, friend, you may be able to run from everybody. You may be Mr. Macho. Amen. You may have the greatest of strength, and you can run to all your friends and have a great time. But after a while, you're going to have to crawl in bed with your conscience. Help me preach a little while. Amen. You see, when it gnaws on you, amen, and it bites like a serpent, it's saying, Amen. What are you doing? What's wrong? Why can't you sleep? Why can't you rest? What's eating on you? Amen. Is there something there that's gnawing on you? Amen. If your sin's mounting up, your conscience and bothering you. Amen. When you're sinning against God and you're sinning against your own conscience. Amen. It's a proven fact. Amen. The way of our transgressor is hard. Amen. The sad thing is, church, you're going there all by yourself. Amen. God made an easy way. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I heard a story about a sea captain one time in England. And he was going on a finest voyage of his of all the voyages he'd ever made. And he had a cargo that was going to make him a lot of money. There was only one catch to it. He had to deliver it to America. Amen. And there was another ship that had the same cargo. And whichever one got there first got the prize and the bounty. Amen. So he set out and he determined in his heart he would be the one that got there first. And as he was sailing across the ocean, about halfway into his voyage, he run upon this ship that had broken apart. And there was, I believe it was 4 men and 3 women. Amen. That was left on pieces of ship that the ship had went down. And they begin to scream and wave for help. And he seen them. But the thought hit him, if you stop and pick these up, you'll not be able to be first to America and get the bounty. And the story was, amen, that he turned his head away and sailed on. Amen. And finally he reached his destination and he was the first one there. Amen. And he began to reap the bounty and the reward of his cargo. And so the old sea captain, a little later, he retired and bought him a little cottage down by the seashore. He thought, man, this is living. This is life. Amen. And so he went out and sat down beside the seashore that evening. Amen. Of his new cottage. And as he sit there, the gale began to bring the waves in. And upon those waves, he could hear the screams and the cries of those men and women that had went shipwreck and he had passed them on by. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. Were there voices in those winds? No. You see, it was his conscience talking to him. Amen. And, man, he went stark crazy. He lost his mind. Amen. Could I say tonight, church, it's a hard road to hell. The way of a transgressor's heart. He thought he had it made. He thought he could really enjoy life and retire. But in the process, amen, he overrun his conscience. Brother, you may overrun your conscience and the dealings of God on your life and think you can possess material things of this life. But could I tell you, it'll not bring happiness to you. The way of a transgressor's heart. Isaiah 57:20, the Bible said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I'm trying to preach to you tonight the way of a transgressor's heart. Amen. You'll die one day. You'll be all alone and you'll go to hell with a guilty conscience because you would not turn to God. Amen. Life is short, man. Why not turn your life around? Come to Jesus. Why you can't? I heard a story about a man, amen, who was so troubled that he went to a psychiatrist. Amen. You know, we call them head shrinkers at home. Amen. Church, usually when someone goes to see a psychiatrist, it's usually because there's a sin in their life and it's troubling their mind and they can't focus and it's driving them insane. If they don't get help or relief, they will go insane. But this doctor told this man, he said, sir, you had the worst case of mental order I've ever seen in my life. Amen. He said, I'm going to label this maniac depression. Maniac depression. This is the worst kind of depression that you can have. And it's brought on by a load in the spirit. Amen. The Bible said a wounded spirit, who can bear? Amen. That's what it's talking about, a conscience that's wounded, church. Amen. A conscience that has insulted the law of God and will not approach the throne of God and ask for forgiveness. Amen. Solomon said, a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Amen. A down with sin load, amen. And it gets heavier and heavier. And after a while, you can't carry the load anymore. A wounded spirit, amen. The doctor looked at this man and he said, you are a maniac depressant. Do you know, you know what that is? That's what they said Mike Tyson was, Brother Shad, a maniac depressant. Amen. That's when you go insanely enraged. Amen. A raging madman. Amen. The man asked him, he said, well, is there any hope for me? Amen. He said, yes. Yes, perhaps they are. Amen. You see, he said, you're void of joy. You're void. You don't have no happiness. You don't have no peace in you. He said, there's a circus in town. And at that circus, there's a clown that can make anybody laugh. If you go down there at that circus, perhaps that clown can make you laugh and make you feel better. And the man said, I am that clown. Amen. Amen. I tell you, church, the way of a transgressor is hard. Mark 6 and 14, the Bible said, and King Herod heard of him, and his name was spread abroad. And he said, that's John the Baptist risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do shew forth themselves in him. Herod here thought it was John coming back from the dead, church. Amen. What was that was eating on Herod to make him think of that? You see, Herod believed in the resurrection. Amen. And this was what was frightening Herod. Amen. I've beheaded an innocent man. I've killed this guy and he's come back from the grave. Amen. And church, this is the simple truth. Men are going to meet their sins in the judgment. You don't get by. Oh, there's men that gets by in this life. You can pull all the shenanigans you want to and think you've got it covered up and hid. You'll not get by in the judgment. You're going to have to face God after a while. Amen. He sees there's no escape. Amen. You're going to face him. That was what Herod thought here. Amen. It tore up inside of him. Amen. He was afraid because of John the Baptist. Amen. And he thought that he'd rose up from the dead. Amen. You see, he remembered he had him beheaded for a mad dance of a woman. Amen. Oh, you think you'd get by, Herod, but it caught up with you. Amen. And now it's come back to haunt him. You know, every man and every woman, church, is going to have to face their sins after a while. Amen. Unless they're under the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses and forgives us of all sin. I'd rather drag a ball and chain, church, than to drag my sins. Oh, God. There was a man in the mines not far from my house. Many years ago, and he got caught in we called them coal cars, these little buggies that run on the track, and they coupled together kind of like your train cars do. And he was behind the curtain, and they brought a load of cars in for them to load on that section, and didn't see the man and coupled him up between the two cars, called him about the midsection. He began to scream and curse. And they realized when they uncoupled that car, Brother Shad, he'd die within maybe a matter of minutes. So they asked the man, do you want us to go get a preacher? There was a preacher there that was working on the same section. And he was a cursing every breath. And they said way before that preacher got to where the man was, he could hear that man screaming and cursing, such vile cursing. Amen. And when he got there, they uncoupled the cars, and he lived about 2 minutes after they uncoupled them. And he died cussing his pain, cursing his situation, cursing the world. He became a madman. Amen. I tell you, the way of a transgressor's hard. Amen. 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 There was a preacher that went to the Alps, and when he got there, he wanted to climb the Alps, and they told him, if you don't know these Alps, you'll die if you don't have a guide. And so he inquired about the price of a guide and agreed to pay the fare. And there was another gentleman came while he was there, and he also wanted to climb. And they inquired, and when they told the man how much it cost, he said, that's just too much money. That's too much money. I think I can make it on my own. And so early the next morning, as they was getting their gear together, and the guide, the man that was not willing to pay the price, took off ahead of them. And they reached a point, there was a dividing in the roadways, and looked way off in the distance, and they could see a shadow of a man out there. And that guide said, you see that guy? That's the guy that left out of here early this morning. He's going the wrong way. He's going the wrong way. He said, if we don't turn him around, if we don't get him to come back, he'll die out there. So he climbed up on a little point where he could see better, and he hollered with everything that was within him, come back! Come back! You're going the wrong way! Hey, church, that's what preachers across America is trying to do. They're trying to get people to come back. Don't go that way. It'll destroy you. It'll ruin you. Amen. Oh, God, help us tonight to reach people that's going the wrong way. Don't continue on that journey. It's a hard road to hell. You'll die out there. You'll die lost without God in long eternity. I heard another story about a steel worker. I believe he was over in Alabama at a steel mill. Amen, if I'm not mistaken. And these two guys, they had worked together for years, and they'd had a disagreement between them. They continued this disagreement. Finally, one day, they were both walking by a molting vat of melted steel, and one pushed his buddy in. He looked around and nobody was around. No one saw him. So he just continued on. At the end of the day, they made inquiry about this man that was missing. Amen. Nobody seemed to know of his whereabouts. Amen. Nobody knowed where he's at. Nobody knowed what happened. Years later, this man that pushed him in went to the police station and turned himself in. Amen. Oh, God. Perfect crime. Nobody knew anything. The guy that was the victim became slag in a molten of hot steel. Amen. He told them there at the police station, he said, I couldn't rest. My conscience wouldn't let me. I couldn't stand it any longer. I was going crazy. Amen. Could I tell you, there's no rest for the wicked. Matthew 11:28 said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yeah. I read this story the other day, and it really touched my heart. This young girl, 22 years old, beautiful young girl, they said, was dying in a hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when she was dying, she was a very educated girl from a very respected family. But sin was there, and she had fell deep in sin into a vile vice and ruin. Amen. And there she was in disgrace in this hospital. Brokenhearted, she left behind this poem. She wrote this poem just before she died. And it said, once I was fair as a beautiful snow, with an eye like its crystal and a heart like its glow. Once I was loved for my innocent grace, flattered and sought for the charms of my face. Father and mother, sister and all, God and myself, I've lost by my fall. The veriest wretch that goes shivering by will keep a wide sweep, lest I wander too nigh. For all that is on or about me I know, there's nothing that is pure but the beautiful snow. How strange it should be that the beautiful snow should fall on a sinner with nowhere to go. How strange it would be when the night comes again, if the snow and the ice struck my desperate brain, fainting, freezing, dying alone, too wicked to pray, too weak for moan. To be heard in the crash of the crazy town, gone mad in the joy at the snow coming down. To lie and to die in my terrible woe, with a bed and a shroud of the beautiful snow. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he said, and ye shall find rest for your soul. I preach my heart tonight to you. The way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard. You keep on. You keep on. After a while, there's no avenues back. You see, after a while, you get so far out there. It ain't that God wouldn't save you, but you don't have enough mind left to seek God. Esau couldn't find no place, though he sought it bitter with tears. Amen. When you shut the doors to all the avenues of life, all the ways back, you close all those doors. Amen. And you find yourself desperate away from God, and your conscience and your mind burned away by the sins of this world. I met a young man over in Alabama. I was working on Brother Norman Smith's house, putting a roof on it. He was a roofer. Amen. He's one of the stepsons of one of the brethren there in that church. And I watched him. Brother Norman told me, he said, he's one of the most brilliant-minded men you ever met. Amen. But he got to getting on dope and drugs. And after a while, his brain, amen, become fried by those. Amen. I watched him. He didn't have hardly enough mind. Scared me to death. Good roof. Just nervous energy. Amen. Couldn't be still, Brother Shad. And he was staggering around and fumbling. Amen. Always trying to, and his mind, he'd give you maybe a half a sentence, and just like he'd forget what he was telling you, start all over on something else. Amen. Drugs messed up his mind. Norman said, I don't know if he'll ever have enough mind to find God or not. What a sad way to be, church. What a desperate heart. Amen. I tell you, it's a hard road to hell. God bless you, my prayer, Brother Shad. Come make this altar call.
Stand with us tonight. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Sister Deidre, come to the piano. While your heads are bowed, I feel like the Lord has sent someone a warning.